Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, a remote edition. I'm John Schaefer, coming to you once again, not from our usual studios in downtown Manhattan, but from my home in Brooklyn. And today's guest is joining us all the way from another neighborhood in Brooklyn. Guitarist Kaki King has had an unusually diverse career. She's best known for her instrumental guitar pieces, which can be full of knuckle-busting displays of virtuosity and so-called extended techniques. But she's also written songs, chamber music, and film scores. And she's come up with innovations that really change the nature of the instrument itself. And this first piece she's going to play for us, called Teak, is a really good example. From her home studio here in Brooklyn, this is Kaki King. That is Kaki King, live in her Brooklyn home with a song called Teak, a newish song, although we've seen the video for this, Kaki. First of all, it's great to see you again.
Good
Thanks
to see you
for,
too,
for joining
John.
Us today.
Yeah.
So the instrument you just played, was a guitar until you did something to it.
Yeah.
And anyone watching the video of that performance or even the official video where we get just a brief glimpse of you playing, we'll see that it's you hold the instrument on your lap and it has tell us what you've done to it.
Sure, yeah, it's really simple and it's not it's been done in different forms that I've seen. This is just a bridge, and it has grooves cut out for guitar strings, and underneath it has a long groove where it can sit right on the fret, so it fits right really really snugly on the guitar. I call it a passerelle. I made it with a luthier friend who's French, Rachel Rosenkrantz. And, you know, we sort of settled on this design and on this material. It's made of bronze, and it's sort of a lovely object as well as something, you know, to put on your guitar. But really what it does to the guitar is quite really fun. It divides it into two different sections. So instead of a six-string guitar, you have a 12-note instrument. But in addition to those 12 notes, you can get all kinds of micro-notes by the ability to bend.
Right. So it's called a passerelle bridge. And, I mean, the guitar has a bridge. It's at the bottom end of the strings. But this second bridge goes on the neck of the instrument.
Yeah. And if you put it on the 16th fret, that will give you a fifth between the two sides of the guitar.
Uh-huh.
But if you were to put it on, say, the 12th fret, you'd have unison. The 11th or 13th, you'd have a second. So there's options in sort of how to get something that's usable.
Yeah. Now, do you have to slack key the guitar, basically? You know, Hawaiian style, where you have to detune everything?
It's way more than slack key. It's like completely deflated key.
Yeah.
You do have to totally unwind your strings, get a lot of slack, rewind them. And then, you know, putting the tuning together is really player's choice, as I say.
Well, but the interesting thing is with the pitch bending that you can do, it sounds and almost looks like you're playing a Japanese koto.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically like a zither, because
the
way to change the tuning is to press on the string and bend it.
Mm-hmm.
So that piece is called teak, and that's teak, not T-E-A-K, the hardwood, but T-E-E-K,
yeah.
Nickname for your wife.
No, named for my daughter.
Really?
My wife already had a song. So I wrote a song called Jessica when I was 15. I put it on an album when I was 25. So I'd written a song called Bowen Island, and we ended up naming my song Bowen for multiple reasons. And then it was my daughter that had not had a song for named for her, and that's not her name, but that's one of the many nicknames.
So that piece is part of a project.
It's presumably part of an album.
A new album. Mm-hmm. Yeah, done. Under quarantine, before quarantine, how did that work out?
let me tell you a tale. No, we were two friends of mine who are engineers and lovely people had relocated to New York just down the street from me and opened a studio. And they said, let's make an album. Chloe Alexandra Thompson was someone that I'd already been working with as a live sound designer. So we started the album on March 2nd. It was booked for about 2 weeks. And March 2nd to March 18th was when the entire situation
The world
came
changed,
apart.
Yeah.
The entire world changed. And, we were essentially in lockdown together. By halfway through, we realized that things were really getting dangerous. All of our, you know, the cancellations were piling up. So we kind of formed a quarantine, as they call it. So, you know, we were all being safe. And despite that, we all managed to get COVID anyway. So.
No.
Yes. Everyone's okay. No one got terribly sick. But yes, I got it. The engineers got it. And it did get passed around a bit. So.
Wow.
And, you know, we were... Because they were obviously running a business, and I have children, and there's so much unknown at the time. You know, we were pretty careful. We were not mingling in crowds, for instance. And anyway, it's very contagious. So,
well, then here's
Here's a question. You're not going to be the first artist I've asked this question of, but I guess the question takes on a different level of meaning now. Was the album you made different from the one you set out to make on March 2nd?
Oh, yes. I mean, the songs were there, and the concept was there, because there's a lot of, you know, it's a guitar record with a lot of interesting sound design. Far more than just effects. This is some really cool stuff, and that's due to Chloe's expertise. But yeah, I mean, some of the song titles are very reflective of the moment. And then on the last day, we did end up doing the final mix of the final song completely remotely. And I remember that night, I got a text message saying, Arjan Miranda, the other engineer, Arjan has a fever. So it you know, so it was a kind of a tale, and it was interesting because we were sort of making it in this mood of some serious depression. Like the album itself was our safe space, and every time we'd have to exit from that, it was, you know, terrifying. So yeah, everything was influenced by that.
So you say there's a lot of sound design, but presumably there are ways that you can perform some of these pieces, because
they're all
one of them for us next.
Yeah, of course.
Which will involve removing the Passerelle bridge from the guitar and completely... Are you going to play a different guitar? Are you going to play this same one and retune it? Or
I could play a different guitar. I am, in fact, in a room full of them.
Yes,
so
I can see you're surrounded
by
them.
That'll be fun. But yes, I do have to... I do, you know... This is the slack key you're wondering about.
Wow. It's a very different sound without that Passerelle bridge under the strings on the neck of the instrument. Khaki King is with us remotely. I'm in my Brooklyn home. She's in her Brooklyn home. And a quick switch of guitars. And so tell us about this next piece that you're going to play.
This song has been around for a while in my little world. I don't even remember the name, John.
So is this song going to be on the on this record that you finished in
March?
Yes,
and it does have a name. I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm sorry I keep bouncing around.
When you have to get up and cross the room to find out the title of your own song, I find that pretty hilarious. Any idea when the album, I mean, it's done, right? You did the final mix of the final song. It probably still needs to be mastered, or has that been done?
It's been mastered, and we're definitely releasing it this year. You know, I think the plan would have been to have it probably come out around now, and, you know, we'll see. I believe certainly by fall.
Okay.
I do have a title for the album. The title is Modern Yesterdays.
All right, and so having checked your notes, what is the title of this piece?
It's called Puzzle Me You.
Khaki King is with us, and we're looking forward to the release of her next record sometime later this year. In the meantime, she's playing live from her home studio in Brooklyn. This is called Puzzle Me You. Thank you. That is Khaki King live with a song called Puzzle Me You. It'll be on her next record called, did you say Modern Yesterdays?
Modern Yesterdays. Mm-hmm.
Coming out later this year. For people who are not guitarists and wonder why you would go through the trouble of retuning the whole guitar for different pieces, there were moments in that work where there was a kind of a chiming sound and certain notes would kind of ring out almost like bells. That's what you get from retuning, right?
That is. You know, really the whole purpose of retuning, they call it open tunings often because I think that you're really depending on these open strings.
Right.
So the stop strings will only resonate so much, but the open strings are going to resonate the longest. So as you move around the fretboard, all the strings that are open and still ringing, they sort of give you this, you know, the interaction with the other notes and all of the interaction with the, you know, themselves. That's kind of why fingerstyle guitar sounds the way it does, is the dependence on this open tuning stuff.
Right. Now, you are obviously a guitarist, but you've often treated the guitar as a kind of a tool.
Yeah.
As opposed, you know, as a means to an end,
yes,
rather than an
yes,
end to
and,
itself.
Yes, and definitely even more so in these more recent years. I've gone off in a direction I never thought I would. I mean, and this is going back around for about 6 years, but I've been projecting onto a white guitar so that basically, it's, imagine you're watching a movie on a surface and the soundtrack of that movie is being played live on the very instrument that is also the surface that you watch the movie. So that's been really interesting. And in addition,
That's the piece, Neck is a Bridge to the Body.
To the Body. So I have a new piece that a lot of these new songs are from. It's called Data Not Found. And again, you know, there's no really telling when this will be rolled out or performed, sadly. But that takes, you know, there's sort of more levels of that kind of interaction where the guitar is also being used as a projection surface. And in addition, I'm controlling a lot of what you see visually through the guitar in a very new and different ways.
Huh.
So for instance, I'll play a note and a little clip will appear of a word. Then I'll play another note and a different word will appear. So I can make an intentional poem by, you know, making an intentional melody, or I can simply improvise and the poem sort of makes itself. And there's, you know, there's sort of interesting things like that. I'm like, the rabbit hole is very, very, it's a rabbit abyss once you go down these paths.
Now, are there certain guitars that you would never stick a Passerelle bridge on, you know, that are just like, this instrument is, you know, not to be...
I really don't have anything, you know, it's funny, I don't have anything like that. They are tools, they're meant to be used and played. I mean, listen, I have some nice stuff, that's for sure, but I've never felt the need to spend, you know, drop $10,000 or more, which you easily can do,
right,
on a guitar,
right,
because it becomes your this precious artifact that can barely be touched. And I'm not that kind of player. These are my workhorses. They need to be able to function, and it's okay if they get scratched up. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that's life. So yeah. I've never been able to be precious because I'm just so damn aggressive with them. I'm looking around like, yeah, they've all taken a beating, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I seem to recall you have some small guitars, like high-strung guitars.
Yep, I do. High-strung 12 strings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Harp guitar? Do you have a harp guitar?
I do have a harp guitar. It's not in this room right now, but yes, I have a...
Okay.
A guy was making a really, really great effort to make affordable harp guitars. I think they were really, they're like under $1,500 or something. So
really?
I do have a copy.
I was going to say, describe affordable, because harp guitars
Well,
are...
I mean, this is all very relative, you know.
Yeah.
I know that can kind of get in a little interesting territory. But yeah, I mean, harp guitars traditionally, to get, even to have someone, you know, bother to look at you to make one would be, you know, $10,000
yeah,
to begin with,
yeah,
probably.
So there is this kind of, you know... The guitar isn't one instrument. It's a family of instruments. And
I think so, yeah. The family of fretted instruments, stringed instruments, you know, things that are manipulated by hand or pick. I don't make a huge distinction when it comes to, like, looking at them or approaching them or kind of going, you know, finding my way around them.
Yeah. Well, now here's a, I should have asked you this after you played teak, but you know, like most guitarists, you have nails
Oh, yeah.
affixed to one hand. But when you're playing a piece like teak where you've split the strings in half, do you put did you put nails on
I
the
don't
other
put anything
hand?
on the left hand, and that the beauty of the passerelle is that because you've split the guitar into two parts, you know, one side is going to be a lot louder than the other, which
Right.
you'd think would be a disadvantage. And it actually, again, it works to sort of have, like, you know, notes that you're trying to hear a little louder and notes that are very prominent. And so it's an interesting balance. And then with the left hand, you know, you've got a weaker side of the guitar, less resonant, because it's just the neck side. And then you don't, I mean, for me, I don't have nails on my left hand, so it's very soft. So the result is that my right hand playing becomes much, much quieter.
Huh.
Yeah, so the right
Well,
hand takes on a, it's almost, you know, very, very light, and I'm really digging in with my left hand. But also, you have a certain sound with the nail and a sound that's softer without the nail.
right. You know, I remember in the early years when I was working at WNYC, we had a series that somebody produced about Andres Segovia. And one entire episode, a whole hour-long episode of this show, was devoted to Segovia talking to the producer of this show about nails and
Amazing.
about how he, and I just thought, who is listening to this? Well,
I
I was
would
listening.
right here. It's a lifestyle. I have in the course of quarantine, because you know, normally I go to a nail salon and they know exactly how I want my nails and the length and the thickness, and it's very, very specific to your style. A lot of most people, I think, do them on their own. But I have gotten a lot of sort of conversation about, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to be able to go to the nail salon for the indefinite future. How am I going to pull this off? So discussions about different supplies and nail kits and, you know, home things and do it yourself and Dremels, and I mean, like, we've gotten very
Wow.
far down the path of that, because again, it's all very personal. But yeah, I would have been fascinated to hear about Segovia's nails. I mean, listen, people have very specific diets and
Yep.
supplements in order to enhance their nails. So it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
All right, so we've heard a couple of new pieces. Modern Yesterdays will be the next record out later this year. You want to play something, you want to go back to into the catalog for us?
I do. Yeah, I do. I'm going to switch back to a different. What am I going to do?
Yeah, I figured you might. The
Let's
odds of this
see.
next song also being in an open D minor are probably pretty slim. So that will necessitate yet another change of instrument. Unfortunately, Khaki King is surrounded by them in her Brooklyn
I do
home
have
slash
this interesting
studio.
guitar. This is going to look identical to the one I just had, except, oh, I know what to do. This is a nylon string guitar.
So, with nylon strings, does that mean you have a wider classical guitar style neck?
Indeed I do, John. Indeed I do. Again, I'm also using open tunings, which is not as traditional on a nylon string, and frankly, a little harder because you're not getting all the sort of the lengthy resonance. The nylon string will decay a lot faster, but it's a beautiful sound. And I'm not a huge nylon player, and I have no training in that. So I just kind of see.
Okay.
So this is an oldie. And it's called Doing the Wrong Thing.
Right, here's Khaki King. Thank you. That is Khaki King with a version of an old song, mm-hmm. Doing the Wrong Thing. That goes back a long way, doesn't it? That's from Legs to Make Us Longer.
It is. It is, yeah. You never-ending wealth of knowledge, you.
So here's a chicken and egg question. With all these different tunings you play in, how much does the tuning suggest the composition, or do you go into a piece thinking of a melody and I need this to be in this tuning for this to work right?
You know, the chicken and egg is sort of like, it's all kind of a primordial soup that's always living and changing and growing. And sometimes, you know, they're in a different tuning because they just were. I don't really know, like, how they... The thought process is... My thought process is never linear or calculated. It's very emotional, and I don't often have the recollection of how something came to be. It just sort of always was, or now in different... Now, I'll give you an interesting example with Teak. Teak, I was rehearsing... No, I was recording with a friend, and he was really sweet, and he just said, hey, I've got a studio, you want to come over? I put the passerelle on the guitar, I figured out a little tuning, and Teak, like, spilled out. Like, the whole song was basically there. It took some, you know, little editing, but it just, you know, and then there's songs that have kind of been in my world for a decade and finally make their way to a record, so there's no rhyme or reason to it, and I wish there was. Because I think you ask that in order to be instructive and in order for people to go, okay, if I follow steps A through D, then I'll get to that place too. And I wish I could be more helpful. But sadly...
But that's not the creative process, though.
It is not.
I mean, and Terry Riley talks about writing In C, his groundbreaking mm-hmm. piece that started the minimalist movement, on a bus on the way home. He said, it just all came to me. The patterns, the structure
Amazing.
Of the piece, all, you know. And Stravinsky, Rite of Spring.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I wish I knew. If I could figure out my own formula, then my life would be so much easier. But you're right, the creative process doesn't like routine and pattern and safety and self-assuredness. It really likes you to sort of have a lot of freakishly terrifying self-doubt and panic, and a lot of feelings and moods, and then you kind of, but I don't even, a lot of times it's never the cognitive state that I'm in when I'm writing a song is like, it's like a high or a you know, it's a different place, and yet I'm still me. I'm still very very grounded. So I don't know, John.
Well, that self-doubt and panic that you mentioned has certainly worked out for you over the years. And
thank you.
I'm really looking...
I got an endless supply of that, so...
Yeah, and being quarantined with a couple of young kids will keep you in that panicky state.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, get me out of here.
Well, at some point, we'll get to hear Modern Yesterdays and the theater piece Data Not Found that sort of spawned some of these pieces. But for the moment, we have to make do with connecting via Zoom like this. And Khaki, thank you so much for taking some time and spending it with us today.
Absolutely, John. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
And that'll do it for this remote edition of the Soundcheck podcast. My thanks, of course, to Khaki King for joining us, and also to you for joining us as well. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can check out videos of this and our other Soundcheck performances at newsounds.org.